The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
Folks, if you have questions for our Monday morning quarterback, I guess I haven't opened the phone lines and questions. There's been so much to get into. If you have questions for our Monday morning quarterback, Andy Minery, the phone lines are open at 734-998-1050. Again, 734-998-1050 here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. Before we start getting into the defense, Andy, let's go to the phones. Go out to California and talk to Eddie. Eddie, you're on the Michigan Insider. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Sam. Andy, how you guys doing?
Oh, great.
Hey, I'm going to be kind of all over the place on this call because this team is kind of all over the place, too. Kind of want to start out, though, with Shea Patterson. He's an interesting player because he gets a lot of criticism, and maybe rightfully so, but I can't remember a player that is responsible for three or four touchdowns and yet gets all the flack that he gets. And again, a lot of it is warranted, but it's just kind of strange how he can play so poorly but yet be responsible for that many scores. Going into the season, I read a lot and I believe that, you know, the new RPO offense and the speed and space thing was going to fit his skill set more, but he doesn't look as comfortable as he did last year with the traditional Coach Harbaugh style offense. And I didn't live too far from, well, I don't live too far from Palo Alto, and I remember watching the Stanford teams that Harbaugh had, and I think we're just dying for our own David DeCastro, our own Zach Ertz, our own Richard Sherman. You know we're starving for our own Andrew Luck, but I have no idea why the heck Shea Patterson just doesn't look as comfortable. I don't know if he's hurt or what the deal is, and I know you're about to talk about the defense. And guys, in, you know, we're about to play a spread team, and in recent history, you know what those spread teams have done to the Michigan defense. I mean, when I have trouble falling asleep, I don't count sheep, man. I count those underground crossing routes, man, within 5-10 yards. I mean, it's crazy. How are we going to stop that?
All right, so he said he's going to be all over with the call. you delivered on that,
you
Eddie.
You did deliver,
You did
Eddie.
Deliver on that, man. So where do you want to say?
Yeah, I appreciate you calling in. You're up early out there in Cali. I appreciate you calling in, Eddie. So let's just go backwards. Let's talk a little bit about the spread with the crossing patterns. And so anytime you go man, a lot of times you're going to have check different wide receiver routes based on what we deliver, whether it's zone or man-to-man. So in other words, just on line of scrimmage, you're going to be able to check whether it's man routes or zone routes just based on what we're in, and a lot of sophisticated spread offenses that we'll go against with some quarterbacks that have had some years starting that can handle a lot of that pressure and making those calls. We're going to continue to get them. It's just more of communication with the DBs and knowing that the crosses are coming. Make sure the linebackers and the slots, and whether or not you go underneath, whether or not you go over top, depending on who's going left to right. There's a reason why offenses continue to do it for years. The rub, which is just an illegal pick, and everybody knows it's illegal, but yet it somehow fits the rule book that it's okay. It's going to continue to happen. It's just going to continue to happen.
Yeah,
if you notice, we are putting little tweaks as far as linebackers looking at the wide receivers coming at them. So if the linebacker is kind of tilted and kind of a quasi zone look and looking away from the quarterback and just focusing on who's coming towards them in a crossing pattern, so you can see that they're trying to make a difference within those. But sometimes do we need to be in zone? We played a fair amount of zone against Illinois, if you remember, just a few days ago. So I think you'll see a little bit more of a balance there, and we'll see a tweak even with half the field being man, half the field being zone.
Yeah, you pointed out just a couple of things right there. I mean, people are used to in zone defenses your spot drops with your linebackers' eyes being on the quarterback, but you're right. They're looking at those receivers, catching those guys as they come across and running with them, essentially turning it into man once the receiver crosses their face. And so they're doing some of that. They're doing some interesting things with their safeties on some of those crossings. So there was one that they even highlighted it during the Illinois game. In the Illinois game, some of the interesting things that Michigan is doing, and it was they showed the interception against Iowa. It was a fade that Vert intercepted, but you watch him on the inside, and we talked about it on the show. How man they had a rat in the middle for the first part of the crosser, and then they had Daxton Hill sprint to the field to pick up the crosser once he came across the formation. So they're doing a lot of different things. It's not just they're going out and it's man all the way and teams are going to pick them apart with crosser.
And then I always like starting with four defense linemen. You take your most athletic defense lineman, drop him back opposite the formation, the strength of the offensive formation, where you drop him back 5 to 8 yards and just play kind of like a spy where you can deflect potentially a short crossing pattern.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times what hurts us is your 5-yard to 7-yard crossers.
Right.
And now, it's not just Michigan. Watch college football as a whole. Everybody likes to talk, we have had our troubles, no doubt. But that is just a system in place that's more utilized than ever before against man. College football-wide. I mean, all you got to do is look at Tom Brady, and the NFL defensive coordinators are still always talking about, hey, how do they always implement those man beaters in all those situations? And it's been happening for years on years.
Right. And to your point on that play, I think it was Aiden Hutchinson on the play that I'm talking about. Aiden Hutchinson dropped back, and he was to cover the back. The back didn't release, so he was right there in the middle of the field. If they had tried to throw it to the cross right there, he would have had it. So they're doing some different.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
All right, now let's go into Shea, criticism of Shea. There's a lot of criticism that he deserves. I mean, he's just got to man up and do better. And, yes, he's making some plays, but have amnesia, focus. Yeah, he's a young kid. He's a senior. He's a guy that's been tested. He's a transfer. He's played for two different collegiate programs, and he should be time tested. And yeah, he's going to have to take that. He knew what he was probably doing. I'm sure people close to him made sure he realized if you're going to step in and be the University of Michigan starting quarterback with 12 years of mediocrity before you take the helm, you're going to instantly get criticized.
And that's just
the way it is. And now at the same time, I'm also one here as the Monday morning quarterback here on WTKA, supporting him as well. Like, he does do good things, and we're going to call those out and give him props and give him, pats on the back, because if anything, right now, we need to highlight a lot of his positives. We want him to have more confidence, is what I'm trying to say. But there's a lot of criticism. He deserves it. I guess I don't understand that. Yeah, he does a lot of good things. A lot of times, he's volatile, man. He's a roller coaster at times.
Yeah, and it's part of the position. You're one of your good pals told the story. One of your best friends told the story. John Navarre. It's the craziest one I've ever heard. Where a guy showed up at his door to criticize. I mean, came to his place. Knocked on his door to criticize him. I was like, "Are you?" He's lucky. John Navarre is a nice guy.
There's some wackos out there, and take it way over the top. And look, I just want the guy to continue to get better and just show signs every single week of getting better. Watch film. Be prepared. Don't put the ball on the turf, and make great decisions. Be decisive. Be a leader out there. Be a vocal guy. Show him, be that type of guy the whole team wants to rally around. And we got half the season here left. And so he's got a great opportunity with only one loss, and he's made a lot of mistakes, not to make those mistakes going forward. And he's got I love his quarterback coach and Ben McDaniels. I thought that was a good shift, and he's doing some great things out there, and he's really doing his best to put him in a position with more knowledge than he's ever had on understanding why the ball needs to go, where it goes based on a lot of the defensive looks. So there is a lot of criticism there, but you're right. You're all over the place. I appreciate that. But I will tell you, you should call John Navarre. I think he does a segment in the afternoon around 3 o'clock. here on this station. So you should call him up if they allow some calls in during that segment and just ask him, you know, what do you think? Do you think the criticism is enough? Do you think the criticism is too much? You know, so get an idea from him, because I was there in the quarterback room and understanding that's just part of the position. You got to handle it mentally. The guys that do handle it are going to be better than the guys that don't handle it. I mean, it's just plain and simple, and expect it.
All right, let's go to the phones again. Roger in Ann Arbor. Roger, you're on the Michigan Insider with Andy Minery. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, I kind of want to follow up the last call about Shea, and this is something that I've had in my mind for a while. It seems like, you know, there's a lot of criticism of Shea, and what I don't get is it seems to me in watching him for 2 years now that he and what he was supposed to be about when they brought him in, it seems to me that he's an athlete. He's supposed to be an athlete, and they're handcuffing him. They are having him play in a controlled system that I think underutilizes him, and I think to the extent he's uncomfortable, I think that's got something to do with it. He's supposed to be mobile. He's supposed to be a guy who can run. We ran him some last year, but not that much really. And this year apparently got hurt in the first game, and I don't know if that's an effect, but I question whether the offensive scheme last year and frankly how it's rolled out this year, which is different. He seems like he's got his, he seems too restrained. He seems too, to me, and when you say things like, well, he's got to take charge, I think he's taking charge out there. I think he's a take charge kind of guy. And I'm not saying he doesn't make mistakes, but I just don't know if they're using him the way that would be optimizing his skill set.
Thanks for the call there, Roger.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Roger. And when I say taking charge, it doesn't necessarily mean he's not taking charge. He's got to continue taking charge and just understand that that's part of being the Michigan quarterback is under any circumstance, you got to be able to step in the huddle and take charge. You got 10 other people looking at you in the eye and worry about what you can control and be decisive and make plays. You know, could they get him out on the perimeter a little bit more without him leaving the pocket on his own in a pocket-type pass? Could they allow him in a run-run option and truly having that run-run option and riding the running back a little bit more and allowing that defensive end to make a decision? You know, I don't think he's that comfortable doing that. And that's one way to get him isolated out there in space on the perimeter, getting outside of the line of scrimmage and the defense and offensive line, getting him outside. There's a lot of time. I think one of the reasons why you're not seeing that run-run option and riding the running back and reading the defensive end is we haven't had a tremendous amount of success in that. And there's so much gray area on whether or not you give and pull. But boy, you look at that film on there at the end of the game there with 4th and 2, and he gave the ball. We didn't end up converting that. Boy, he had a lot of green grass off to the right when he could have potentially. I just think, and the other thing is talking about that confidence level. That's where one of the fumbles happened with Shea and Charbonnet was on that mesh, what they call mesh point, where the running back and the quarterback, what they call, ride it into the line of scrimmage, allowing the defensive end to make a decision. But I thought Illinois' defensive end during those plays did well, and with their shoulders, and they didn't commit one way or the other. They just kind of scooted down the line of scrimmage with the running back, but still having parallel shoulders. I know it's probably hard for everybody to follow that, but it's true. But hey, look, he's going to continue to get criticism, and that's just part of the position. And long term, he'll probably be a better person of it.
All right, we need to get to a break. When we come back on the other side, a few words about defense, a few words about Penn State, and then we'll get you to your day job, Mr. Minery. But back on the other side with more Monday Morning Quarterback here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.
Lewis Jewelers, where Ann Arbor gets engaged and the rest of us get our jewelry. I walk around every day with a ring, my wedding band made by Lewis specifically for me. When I wear my Citizen watch, that's from Lewis Jewelers as well. My wife wears two or three things. I got her at Lewis on any given day, her engagement ring, her wedding band, and her sporting Movado watch, all from Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store. Open Monday through Saturday. There is no pressure. The Lewis team does not work on commission. They get you what you want. They get you what you need and nothing more. They also help you maintain your jewelry for the lifetime of that jewelry, whether it's new watch batteries, new watch bands, or shining up those nice rings. Give them a call at 734-994-5111. You can visit them at 2000 West Stadium Boulevard in Ann Arbor, and they are always online at lewisjewelers.com. Lewis Jewelers, proud supporters of Michigan Athletics.